welcome as we prepare for Shabbos Chol Hamoed, and for the laying of Parshas Vayechah Bracha, which is on this coming from Chatzaira. Let me share with you the three thoughts. Let me start with one that has to do with Parshas Vayechah Bracha. We have here, at the end of the Parsha, Vayal Moshe Me'arvois Moyev Al Har Nevoi. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Nevoi, his final resting place. And when he's there, Vayarehu Hashem is Kol Ha'aretz. He gets to see all of Eretz Yisrael. This is the fourth time it's mentioned in the Torah. Parshas Pinchas, Vashkanan, Hazinu, and here again. And Moshe Rabbeinu is zeichet to see Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Shmuel Levis notes that the seeing Eretz Yisrael is obviously a tremendous mashpia. It has ashpa on a person. If we say that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila was nena mechza, was half answered, in the fact that he was zeichet to see Eretz Yisrael, clearly then the sight of Eretz Yisrael is a mashpia, has the potential to be mashpia on somebody who sees Eretz Yisrael, certainly someone who is zeichet to at least visit Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings the story of Yosef's Meshisa. The Medrash brings that at the time of the Churban Bayis Yesheni, our enemies had a Jew who was named Yosef Meshisa, who was a traitor. He took the side of Edom and helped to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. As a reward, Yosef Meshisa was given permission to go into the Beis HaMikdash and take any one kli sharet, any one utensil for himself. He went in, and why did he choose? He chose the beautiful menorah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. He took it for himself, and he walked out with it. When the Edomim saw that he was taking the menorah, they saw its beauty, and they said, no, this is too beautiful for you. We're going to take this for ourselves. Choose something else. The then Yosef Meshisa replied, is it not enough that I angered my Creator once? I should go in again. He refused. And the Edomim forced him to go in. They tortured him and ultimately killed him. He refused to go in. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, what caused that change? What caused that change was just seeing the Beis HaMikdash from inside. He's going to walk into the Eichal, the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash, just seeing Kedusha. That has the potential to be a mashpia. On Sukkot, we sit in the sukkah. Here too, sitting in the sukkah is a mashpia. It has the potential to be a mashpia on a person. Some people are not careful on Sukkot. They limit their sitting in the sukkah to the time that they're obligated. They have to eat a cookie or they want to wash. They're obligated to go into the sukkah. That's the extent of their sitting in the sukkah. Maybe they yaitz in the Shulchan Aruch. They go into the sukkah when they have to. That's not the idea of the teshuvah taduru, of living in the sukkah. First, we should look to be in the sukkah additional time, to be a mushma, to have a feeling of an ahava, a love for a sukkah. On this note, I'd like to mention a word of chizuk for those of you who sleep in the sukkah during these days. You know full well that most Jews don't sleep in the sukkah, certainly not in Chutz La'aretz. And for those of us who sleep in the sukkah, we know the sleeping in the sukkah is not the same as sleeping in your bed, in your bedroom. It leaves you a bit more tired. You get mosquito bites. It's colder in the sukkah, at least most years. And sometimes there's a certain feeling of yush. What am I doing this for? So many yidden don't sit in the sukkah. Don't sleep in the sukkah, rather. And here I am, being moshe nefesh, to sleep in the sukkah. One circus, I took my children on Chol Hamoed to a science museum. And there, they showed a film. The film was a story of people who went to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Mount Kilimanjaro is the highest peak in the southern hemisphere. They talked about the incredible mysterious nefesh people have to climb the mountain. They sleep in far less comfortable beds than our sukkah. Sleeping bags in places with minimal oxygen at great heights, where it's snowy and colder than it is in our sukkah. They endure hardship for more than 7 days and 7 nights, and they risk their lives, quite frankly, for what? It's anticlimactic. They climb to the top of the mountain. When they get there, you would think they stop, have a Coke, relax, have a party. No, they get to the top, they touch the base. hardship. When one thinks of what human beings endure for imagined goals, goals that are totally meaningless, are glorified for reasons that are very hard to comprehend. The government prohibits, the government forbids doing things that are dangerous. Why don't they forbid climbing mountains like that for absolutely no purpose in the world? People die in their attempt very often. But they see a goal. And that my sinefesh, and I thought to myself, so the inconvenience of sleeping in the tzeilut and the hemenusa and the holy sukkah is something that should not dispirit a person. On the contrary, the fact that being able to sleep in the sukkah is such an extraordinary mitzvah, it's a sasei. Teshu keitaduru, it's a hashpah, it's one of the only mitzvahs in which a person could put his whole body into the mitzvah. A person could be mekayim the mitzvah so many hours by sleeping in the sukkah. Don't be dispirited. Those who go out of their way and endure hardship to sleep in a sukkah should be nischazek. Should be no worse than hashaitim shabahem, the fools who go through so much more for so much less of a reward. Let me move on from talking about sukkahs and v'esabracha to talking about the birfas kayanim. During these days, we have duchening in Chutz La'aretz, something in Eretz Yisrael they're accustomed to on a daily basis. As you know, there are three brachas in Birchas Kayanim. It says that the Hamoinam, the Israelim among the people, should be mechavin k'neged ha-Kayanim. Not just stand there, but pay attention and think about the brachas, certainly the Kayanim. Pay attention to the brachas that they're saying. I'd like to add a little bit of explanation to the 15 words of Birchas Kayanim. And the source for this Yisraeid is in Iyun Tzilah, the Schwab Sefer on the Siddur. And there, after Birchas HaTzairah, at the beginning of the Sefer, he explains briefly the difference between the three brachas. He explains each of the three brachas that the Kayanim say. He explains as follows. And this is based on a Medrash. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, the first bracha. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. It's a bracha for hatzlacha in gashmius. It's a blessing for a person to have a blessing, good fortune, in his pursuit of his physical needs. The Medrash says, Yivarechecha Hashem b'peisher, God should bless you with wealth. The Yisvarecha min ha'listim, it should guard that wealth from thieves. So that the first bracha is a bracha for the gashmius, the physical needs of a human being. The second bracha, Yoyer Hashem Panav Eilecha Yichunecha, is a longer bracha. First bracha is three words, second is five words. And Yoyer Hashem Panav Eilecha is a blessing that people should succeed in ruchnius and spiritual needs. Yoyer Hashem Panav Eilecha is a lashon of Ha'er Peneinu B'Seretzecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should light us up with an understanding of his Torah. Yichunecha, the expression of chein, is a gift. We know God gives a person das as a gift and understanding. A person has to use it the right way. So Yoy Hashem Panav Eilecha, may God light up you, may light you up with his countenance, with his face, with his being, Yichunecha, and give you fame. That blessing is a blessing for halacha in Ruchnius. So the first word is the bracha on Gashmius, second on Ruchnius. But it's the third bracha, what's left? The third bracha, Yisra Hashem Panav Eilecha, V'yaseim Lecha Shalayim, is a blessing for Menuchas HaNefesh, that a person should not fall into a state of Bahala, of tumult, but he should have a calm life in his pursuit of his needs, whether physical needs, spiritual needs. A person should have a calmness, a Menuchas HaNefesh. Yisra Hashem Panav Eilecha, a person should have a sense of Nisiyas Panim. The Gemara in Bracha says, Yisra Hashem Panav Eilecha is an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays favorites and looks favorably at Klal Yisrael. There's a Menuchas HaNefesh when a person feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at him, smiling at him, with a idea of favoritism, of finding favoritism in the eyes of God. Yisra Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalayim is a blessing for Menuchas HaNefesh. It's a tremendous mussar. That of the three blessings, the longest is the bracha for Menuchas HaNefesh. With this explanation of Rav Shmuel, we can explain what would otherwise be a difficult Gemara. Shmoish, Moish, Chamisha, Veshiva, Keneged Me. We have three Elias on a weekday, five on a Yom Tov, and seven on Shabbos. Keneged Me, why three, five, and seven? And the Gemara responds that it's Keneged, the words of the three Brachos of Berachos Kohanim. The first blessing, Yivrecha, Hashem, Yishmerecha, is three words. The second is five, and the last is seven. So we do three, five, seven with the Elias. And one who reads this is astounded. What in the world does Berachos Kohanim have anything to do with the Seder of the Brachos that we have, the Seder of Elias that we have when we give Elias on the weekday, Yom Tov, and Shabbos? But with the response explanation, it's beautiful. The weekday is the day that we pursue our gashmias needs, our physical needs. Therefore, the first bracha, Yivrechecha Hashem Yishmerecha, the number three, is appropriate. And Yom Tov is the time of Aliyah L'Regel. We pursue Aliyah, growth, in our spiritual needs. And therefore, Yom Tov is the second bracha, five words, and therefore five Aliyahs. Shabbos is the day Hashem created Menucha, rest, the time we pursue Menucha Sanefesh. And therefore, it's fitting that the bracha of seven words corresponds to the seven Aliyahs of Shabbos. How beautifully it fits. We have a minhag here in Chutz Laaretz that after the Chazan says the first bracha, we say, Ken Yiratzein in the S'chus of Avraham Avinu, the second in the S'chus of Yitzchak, the third in the S'chus of Yaakov. This fits well because the first bracha is a blessing for Gashmias. Avraham's Midah was the Midah of Chesed, using one's Gashmias in the pursuit of mitzvah, charity, kindness to others. So therefore, because Avraham Avinu, we should have Hatzlacha, we should have good fortune in our pursuit of our physical needs, something which we could use for Chesed. The second bracha is Keneged Yitzchak Avinu, Tachet Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Yishuvah is the time of Matan Torah. And that, of course, corresponds beautifully. The Ruchnias is the Schus Yitzchak Avinu. And the third bracha, Menuchas HaNefesh, corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, Bikes Yaakov Leishay B'Shalva. We know that Yaakov's goal was Menuchas HaNefesh, he pursued it all his life. His appreciation of Menuchas HaNefesh came here out saying, this was Yaakov Avinu, which is of course the Yom Tov of Sukkos. And if it's well, Yaakov Avinu built Sukkos, Sukkos is connected to Yaakov Avinu. And the whole idea of leaving one's house and being satisfied with the Sukkah to Menuchas HaNefesh, not needing more, being happy with what you have, even if it's a bit more difficult. So the Rashi's brief explanation of Berachos Kohanim has many branches and explains as well the Gemara in Megillah, 3, 5, and 7 Aliyahs, and explains the S'chus of Rabbi Yitzchak and Yaakov, which correspond to those brachas. And I'd like to end with the kasha difficulty I have in Halacha. It's something that's Megea Halacha to all of us. As you know, there is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah chiyuv, to be Mamer Sedra every week. It's a separate simon in the Reish Tehei and Shulchan Aruch, which tells us that a person is obligated to be Mekayim Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum every single week. Beginning at what moment does a person have a right to be Yitzhak this mitzvah? A person can't go and do five parshias ahead of time, do five parshias and be Yitzhak for the next 5 weeks. So Shulchan Aruch says that it begins from the time that they read that parsha in the Torah. The person can be Yitzhak, the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum, from what time in what time? So Shulchan Aruch says, Miyom Rishon Ve'ilech, from Sunday and on. The Mishnah Berurah says, you can actually start from Milcha on Shabbos. When the Tzibur starts to read it, from then and on, you could be Yitzhak, the Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. It would therefore seem to follow that Parshas V'zayis HaBracha, which we're laying, we already laid on Shabbos Mincha, and that we could be Yitzhak Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum from that point and on. And therefore, it's mysterious that Rashi in Simur Reish Tehei, again, not Rashi Mishnah Berurah, in Simur Reish Tehei, Sivkot Yud Ches, tells us, B'yayim HaShadah Rabbah Yikra Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum, the Parshas V'zayis HaBracha. He says to do it from Hashanah Rabbah, on Hashanah Rabbah, then Parbi on Shmini Atzeres, Le'yisit, or on Shmini Atzeres. Why here do you have to wait for Hashanah Rabbah? Why not do it earlier? But even more mysterious is that the halachis of Shmini Atzeres, And Mishnah Berurah seems to say that one should do it on Shmini Atzeres Dafka. He doesn't bring that Hoshana Rabbah is a suitable day. And therefore, this needs some sort of an explanation. The source of the Mishnah Berurah is the Shari Tshuva, right on the spot in Resh Pei Hei. He gives no reason, but says exactly the same thing. So, Zarchi and Godwin needs an explanation. At any rate, certainly in the Shana Rabbah, where it's a minig to stay up late at night and try to chaparai more learning, this year the night of Shana Rabbah is Matzai Shabbos. People are generally more rested. More people should find themselves in the Beis Medrash. Matzai Shabbos, Shana Rabbah, trying to stay up late and learning. It's a time you can do Shana Rabbah, Bechatag, and Parshas, Matzai Tabracha. Certainly, at the beginning of the Parsha, the Brachas are difficult. They take time. And therefore, it's an appropriate time to do it. Maybe, if you stay up late enough, you'll find the terrace for discussion. Let me leave you with one more difficulty. As I was being Mavisedra, I shouldn't say Mavisedra, said Hashanah Rabbah. I was going to Zayis HaBracha. I came to the Ramban at the end of the Zayis HaBracha, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Aleph. He says, Har Navai, when my Rabbeinu was buried, is in Chelko Shel Reuven, is in the part of Eretz Yisrael that fell to Reuven. Now, of course, that Ramban contradicts Rashi earlier in the parasha. In the bracha given to Shevet God, we find an expression that in the chelik of Shevet God, Chelkas Mechaikek Safun. The chelik of Mechaikek, which is Meish Rabbeinu, as it says in the Targum, the chelik of Meish Rabbeinu is in Shevet God. Now, Meish was in Shevet Levi. So Rashi explains that he was buried in the chelik of God. So Rashi says he was buried in the chelik of God. The Ramban does not offer a different explanation of chelkas mechaikek safon. And the Ramban says that it was in the chelik of Reuven. That's a contradiction between Rashi and the Ramban. Could be a machlokes. But he looks into Shevel Ramban, and he points out in the footnote that this is a Gemara in the Sechta Seita Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis Tanya Amar of Yehuda. He brings there that Heichan Moshe Meis Bechalkei Shel Reuven. Yitziv Ayah Moshe Barbeis Moyev El Nevoi V'Nevoi Bechalkei Shel Reuven Kaima. So it seems to be a Gemara that Har Nevoi is in the Chelik of Reuven. Yet Rashi says Chelkas Mechaikei Sofon is in the Chelik of God. Sounds like something that needs a good terrace. With that, I wish you all a good night, a good Shabbos, a joyful Simchas Torah, and a